John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. Iran. The headline out of London is Alarm. Iran to increase uranium enrichment in blow to nuclear talks. Lead graph. Iran plans to sharply increase the purity of its enriched uranium in a provocative move that puts it closer to weapons-grade levels and threatens to scupper, wonderful English word, scupper efforts to revive an international nuclear deal. I welcome Victoria Coates of the Center for Security Policy, who is here to help me understand how Iran's provocations are winning it the attention of the Biden administration for the informal talks at a very fine hotel in Vienna. Victoria, you're not responsible for explaining all of this, but it is a puzzle to me that every time the Biden administration makes what you'd have to say are sounds of renegotiating the JCPOA, just sounds about it, not actually full sentences, Iran provokes. Let's start in Tehran. What does Tehran make of the Biden administration? Admittedly, it's early days, but you were a member of the National Security Council and you watched them for years. What do they make of the new administration in Washington? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thank you for having me on. Well, I think we're closing in on 100 days into the Biden administration. We'll reach that benchmark in about 2 weeks. And I think Tehran has taken the measure of the new team in Washington and have decided that they're going to give them everything they want. And it's going to come in the form of not enforcing sanctions, which is a passive way of providing sanctions relief, and turning a blind eye to Iranian smuggling. And so we know they've ratcheted up massively their sales to China in recent months. And so all of that money, it looks like, will be poured into the nuclear program. And as you said, they have been now ratcheting up the purity of their enrichment. There's only one reason to do that. And I think making very clear that they're going to proceed with their nuclear program.
This makes the Chinese deal look even smarter. Let's talk about that because you write about it in the Jerusalem Post. China made a big announcement some days past that it was committing to a 25-year investment in Tehran. Billions and billions and billions. The Chinese like to promise lots of money. They've got to take up the trillion thing that Biden does. Trillions and trillions and trillions to Tehran. Is China helped or hurt by this enrichment provocation?
I think China would probably be neutral on it. They've never much cared about the Iranian nuclear program per se. I think they are eager to get a cheap stream of plentiful energy. Remember, China is the world's largest energy importer. They will always be vulnerable to market shocks and constrictions in supply. So I think they wanted to lock that in for Iran. So this is a good deal for China. But make no mistake about it, it is not a good deal for Iran. They are not going to get, I mean, it's a lot of money, $400 million. I mean, it's by any metric a lot of money, or $400 billion rather, but it's not enough over 25 years to fix the Iranian economy. And so it sounds splashy. It's probably good for China, but it's certainly not good for Iran.
The severe sanctions, that is the term that's been used these last years. And there's plenty of information to say that the severe sanctions have constricted the ability of the Tehran regime to make trouble. However, you know that there's an economy within an economy in Iran, a state within a state. Is the security state threatened by the severe sanctions? Have they ridden this out by smuggling and other underhanded activities?
We know that they would have been. There was a report out yesterday that the foreign reserves that are available to Tehran are as low as $4 billion, which is a shockingly low number, I mean, lower than Afghanistan. If that is true, it is proof that the sort of maximum pressure campaign was working. We were forcing them to eat their seed corn, and that they would have come to a moment of acute economic crisis in coming months. And unfortunately, over the course of the last couple of weeks, the Biden administration has squandered all of that precious leverage built up painstakingly over a course of years by giving them an economic lifeline in in the form of these relaxed enforcement of sanctions. And so, you know, you took a really potentially historic moment when the leadership in Tehran would have to make a choice. And they've been forced to do this a couple of times in the past, most notably perhaps when they were forced to end the Iran-Iraq war. And the Supreme Leader referred to that as drinking the poison chalice, but they had to do it or face the end of the regime. So when they confront a challenge like that, they tend to, you know, make accommodations in the name of self-preservation. But we didn't get to that point, and it could have been literally a matter of weeks that ruined it.
Victoria, what are the Cyrus Accords? What would that look like?
The Cyrus Accords are what Len Korkovsky and I have named a agreement between Iran, the United States, Israel, and potentially our regional friends and partners, which is the only deal that would actually save Iran. The notion that what's happening now in terms of economic relief to them is really just a lifeline to the mullahs and to their families and to the IRGC. None of this goes to the Iranian people or does the systemic fixes that economy needs. The United States and Israel, with our partners, could offer an arrangement that looks very much like the recent Abraham Accords between the United States, Israel, UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, for example, which is a comprehensive deal providing for security but also for strong economic ties. The United States and Israel could offer a menu of public-private sector opportunities to fix Iran, both the critical infrastructure, their environmental disaster, their water disaster, all of these problems. We are the ones who can fix them, but we can only fix them if they renounce hostilities, and that's what this regime will not do.
The aggression that the Tehran regime demonstrates is not just a suspect nuclear weapons program. It's also ballistic missiles. It's also importing what are called conventional arms. Does the Biden administration concern itself with those other parts of of Tehran's predation?
They certainly don't seem to, which is curious to me, because the only reason you really need an ICBM is to deliver a nuclear weapon to a place like the United States. And so I think that should demand their attention. But they seem exclusively focused on technical matters concerning the nuclear program, which they allow the leadership in Tehran to present as a civil nuclear program. We know it's not from the archives that the Israelis liberated a couple of years ago. We know they were hoarding designs for nuclear weapons. But for whatever reason, this administration has decided that they will accept the fiction that it's a civilian program and that they can somehow engage in technical negotiations over it.
The recent incident that is suggested to be Israeli in origin, the cyber attack, if that's what it was, on one of Iran's non-transparent nuclear facilities, is that the future? Is that where we're headed here? We'll have the JCPOA restored and then the battle will continue out of sight?
Unfortunately, I think it probably is. You know, I have no proof one way or the other. If it was an Israeli operation, what's unfortunate from my perspective is that you had Washington come out very quickly and say, oh, it wasn't us. It wasn't us. So I think the administration is allowing Tehran to sort of drive a wedge between Israel and the United States. And the Israelis are in the unfortunate position of already being within the range of Iranian missiles. So their calculus is going to be a little bit different than ours right now. Our administration was very supportive of them, very understanding of the precarious nature of that position. This administration doesn't seem to take that much into consideration. And so, you know, I would be very supportive of whatever the Jewish state feels it needs to do to defend itself against this kind of a threat. But it is a real shame to me to see them having to go it alone.
Victoria Coates, Senior Fellow, Center for Security Policy, former U.S. Deputy National Security Advisor for Middle East and North African Affairs. I'm John Batchelor.